Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, woman of God?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. I've got some exciting news. They have put commercials out about the reality show that Bernita Ewing is going to be in, and she is in the commercial, and you can look at it on Facebook. I am sending it around. It is on my page, and it's called Dreammakers. And so you can also go to YouTube and look at it. So it's pretty exciting that they now have the commercial out about it, and she is just so elated.
Wow.
As I'm sure you would be too, you know, any of us, if that were happening for us. So, yeah, it's
that's
getting closer.
Awesome.
And yes,
and what is the show? So that's the new reality show that Bernita Ewing is in, and they're already advertising this new reality show, and she's in the commercial. Wow.
Yes. They haven't advertised when the show is going to start. They're just advertising that it is going to be coming, I guess, to kind of whet your appetite about, you know, your expectations about it will be coming. So, yay, Bernita!
Congratulations!
Oh, yes. You know what that means, Coach? You know what that means, Coach Lily? So we're next. We're next in line to be blessed. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Things are happening. Things are happening for the people of God, yes. And, you know, it was so great. We heard Bishop Baylor talk about it yesterday. You know,
oh, my goodness.
You got to believe it. You speak it. And, you know, you got to just know that it's going to happen. And get prepared. Are you prepared?
Yes.
Now, he says one of his mantras is that success is where preparation meets that dream that you have, or, you know, or that opportunity. As you're prepared, when you're prepared, you're going to meet it. It just goes without saying, really. It really does. If you're preparing to meet that opportunity of greatness, so get prepared. What are you doing? That's my question to you listening today. What are you doing? I had a great meeting yesterday with Lori. Some of you know she comes on the show. She's been one of our guests. I'm not one of our guests, but she's been in the audience many times, and she's called in with, you know, questions or comments. And she's such a delightful. She has a book coming out. I can't wait to bring her on to talk about her taking all the steps that she's been listening to, and others. Not, you know, this is not the only place she's getting her information. Certainly, the AAE show, we're not taking any credit for people's success. However, we are here to do what we're supposed to do, and that is to empower the people. You know, the Bible says one plants, one waters, but God adds the increase. So, you know, we can't say, oh, you know, nobody can say, I did this for somebody, or you didn't do anything for, whatever you did, you don't know what it resulted in, because God adds the increase. But we are happy and pleased that she has been on the show listening, and that she has an example of how she has been moved to a higher level. And Coach Cassandra,
yes, yay, Lori, yes, praise God.
All over. She's beaming. She's, you know. So we had a nice lunch together at the conference center, Jersey City. And anyone, you know, if you want to, you know, come over and, you know, have lunch, Coach Luis at the conference center, all you AAEers out there, come on over. No, come on over. Let's do lunch. It was fabulous buffet lunch, all you can eat. You can't beat it. So we had a great time, Coach Cassandra. It was awesome. We got to talk about Bishop Baylor.
That is wonderful. I am so proud. You know what? Because we, you know, kind of helped hold Lori's hand through it. You know, you did, Coach, and she was empowered, inspired, and, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage one another. This is not about any monkey business. We are in the business of helping people go to the next level. We are in the business of empowering people, inspiring, and telling people, hey, listen, if I can do it, you can do it too. So we want to encourage you. Even if it's taking baby steps, you're taking steps. You know, God says in his word, all it requires is a mustard seed. Do you know how small a mustard seed is? You're not looking real good, you will miss it. But listen, if you watch God, he is going to show up and blow your mind. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. But we got to be looking for it. And what's it say? Expectation is a breeding ground for miracles. What are you expecting? What are you believing God for? Put more faith in, you know, or more of your hopes in the faith that you can do it than in faith in your doubts. You know, you should be doubting your doubts. Sometimes people are watering your doubts. But come on up higher. You can do it. Isn't that right, Coach?
And Coach Cassandra, when you're living your dream, I am living, I tell people, you know, I don't have a job. I have a dream. You know, I'm not living, you know, I'm not just, you know, working. I'm dreaming. Every day I get to operate in my dream life. I don't wake up to ho-hum anymore. I stopped that some years ago. But it's really, and it gets better. People might say, well, why do you need to keep on living? Because it keeps on getting better. He gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. And I tell you, it's like I thought, you know, when I had, you know, written my first book, you know, God's Plan for Success, I thought I had died and went to heaven. And then God blessed me with your power. And then that was awesome. And then the coaching. And now this new whole educational thing, I'm like, you know, the radio for me, you know, that's my sidebar. You know, some people, this is their be all and end all. This is my sidebar. This is what I do for fun. This is, you know, radio is my hobby. For some people, it's their business, and that's great. That's great if that's your business. But my radio for me is a hobby. You know, my business, and I know, Coach Cassandra, you have your thing. My business is motivational speaking. That's my business.
Come on now.
We have our ministry. We have, and I'll be doing some teaching on that in a seminar, you know, coming up. But we have, and actually, I'm going to be part of this summit. I'm part of a couple of summits that are coming up. One, July 19th down in Philly. Another one that's online, a virtual summit. where and sometimes I'll be doing these different, you know, teachings, but you can have it all. You really can. So you got your hobby, you got your ministry, you got your business, you got your marketplace ministry, all of that, and you still have time for recreation, you know, got to have things. So, we like to, as you've taught about, Coach Cassandra, as well, is you have to have the total package. You know, when we do our coaching, one of the assignments we do is that wheel, you know, that wheel of life, where we have people look at all the key areas. You want to have all the areas balanced. You know, we talk about a balance. You know, how balanced is your life? If you all work and no play, well, you know, that's not going to be too much work. And so anyway, but I know we have an awesome guest. I don't want to talk too much more, but there are some exciting opportunities coming up for you to learn how to start your business, grow your business, run your business, manage your business, and how to connect with people and interact with others that are also business owners, and how to live your dreams. You know, that was, I heard Les Brown say that 27 years ago when I first moved to New Jersey. Before coming to New Jersey, I had never heard of Les Brown. When I came to New Jersey, somebody told me about Les Brown. They used to come to the hair salon and pass out flyers. He used to come to Newark Symphony Hall, and you could go see him for like $20. $20, I'll never forget it. And then he would start promoting his book, Live Your Dream, Live Your Dream. And I got the book, I read the book, and I've been on that journey ever since, and to make that happen. So what's your dream? You can really live your dream. But you got to know what your dream is. Some people are trying to live a dream, and they don't even know what it is that they really want. What do you want? Not what your mother wants for you. Not what your father wants for you. I'm not talking about Father Jesus. I'm talking about Father, Daddy, you know. But what do you want for you? And when you can answer that question, now, yes, you can, you know, God can give it to you, whatever, but God's going to give you what you want, because the Bible I read says he gives you the desires of your heart. So,
yeah,
if you really got it from God, it's going to be just what you desire. It's not going to be, oh, God gave me that. Oh, I don't want that. No. Because the God I serve gives you the desires of your heart.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you know what's in your heart? So many people don't know what's in their heart, Coach Cassandra. They don't know what they really want because we haven't spent time with ourselves. But anyway, I know we have an exciting guest, so I'm going to move out the way, but I just had to get that out.
Awesome. Yes, absolutely. I am so delighted all about Entrepreneurs Audience to be presenting as a phenomenal pastor, prophet, author, world-renowned speaker. Yeah, he does so much. It's so much to say about him. I think I don't know where to stop with the adjectives. He is an awesome man of God. I personally had the opportunity of hearing him speak on several occasions. He lives in Dallas, Texas. And so I am presenting this morning Pastor, I think it's also Dr. Craig Cobb. Pastor Cobb, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Fabulous. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're sounding real good, sir. Yes, so glad to have you on the air with us today.
Glad to be on.
Absolutely. And we've got Coach LaLisa is also the host of this show with us. And so we're glad to have you on, sir. So we are so excited. You wrote a new book and that I've had a chance to read. It's been several months ago, and it's exciting, your book. Can you tell us the title of it and tell us a little bit about it and how to get it?
Yes, Cassandra, the title is Born in Royalty, Born in Royalty, and it was birthed out of my experience as well as expectation. And I realized in the body of Christ, especially during my pastoring and then my contact that I have, not only with the population, but also with body of Christ at large, that a lot of times our mistaken identity is the cause of a lot of our misplacement in our life, our misplacement in our endeavors, and our misplacement in our own particular dreams. And so the book was written to get people to see their lives from God's perspective. And that's one of the most important, the important elements of a believer who is walking in victory or functioning as a conqueror. You got to see your life from God's perspective. In spite of your failures, in spite of your mishaps, your disappointments, the debris that you find yourself under after a storm or whatever the case may be, but from God's perspective, all things are still going to work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And so the book was written from that vein to empower and encourage people to be able to excel beyond wherever they might be. You got to believe that there's a greater life beyond where you are, no matter where you are. Sometimes our successes can even be our enemy because we don't seek to reach another plateau of achievement because of what we've already achieved. But as long as you have breath in your body, there's always another dimension of faith that God is catapulting you to. So that's really what the book is about.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I know what you mean, but for those that are listening and that may not be aware of your book, what exactly does it mean, a displacement of your identity? Share with us a little bit. Expound on that, please.
When I say misplacement of identity, sometimes, first of all, every person that's born has a purpose. They have something that they've been created to do. And that realization and that actualization takes place when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you're empowered to fulfill what you've been created to do. The problem comes is over a period of time in a person's life, sorry to say, many times life is not a bed of roses. You have certain experiences, disappointments, detours, roadblocks, different things that you experience along the way. And even sometimes you have pursuits, career advancement and things like that, that gives you an identity that's not commensurate with who God says you are. So when I say mistaken identity, it's any time you believe yourself to be anything other than what God says you are. Most of the time, that's the case. When God creates a person and He gives them a calling or an identity, and that identity, who they are in Christ, or that calling, what they're designed to do, be it ministering, be it a successful entrepreneur, be it a school teacher, whatever they're called to do, whenever that's altered, their power and authority is also diluted, because for every calling, God assigns an anointing or a measure of authority. And whenever you're not functioning in that identity or that calling, you also lose the authority and the anointing that's assigned to that calling. And when that happens, you start losing battles that you should be winning. So when I say mistaken identity, it means not really knowing what you're called to do and who you are in Christ. And that's basically what I mean when I say that.
Okay. I see that you were part of a delegation of 16 other pastors that went to the White House. And as a result of that meeting, you are now the founder and president of Youth Empowered. to Prosper, which is an entrepreneurial foundation for inner city youth. That is absolutely awesome. Tell us how that works and how people can contact you on that.
Yes, it's in the embryonic phase of development, and it's a mentorship program that empowers youth to be able to prosper and adopt entrepreneurial ideas and be able to, you know, get involved in entrepreneurial pursuit. And what we're designing to do is go into the inner city. Most of the people in the inner city, the youth in the inner city, they're not afforded some of the advantages or some of the opportunities that many other people are. I'm from the inner city myself, and sometimes you don't know how to make a change on the path you're on, especially if you don't come from a Christian home or you're not surrounded by positive people or mentors.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what it's designed to do is teach youth entrepreneurial skills. And in teaching them entrepreneurial skills, getting other businesses, corporations, and people that are partnering with me to be able to give grants to them to start businesses and to set them up where the business cannot fail. Similar to the ministry of your co-host, you know, as a coach, what we're going to do is coach them and guarantee that as long as they apply the principles that we're teaching them, that they'll be able to succeed in their endeavors and in life and break the generational curse that looms over most of their families. And so if they want to get in touch with me on that, they can contact me via my website, drcraigcobb.com. And just send me an email or information, and sometime it's kind of behind schedule on coming to fruition, but sometime during this summer is when we're going to launch it, preferably in August. Beginning of August is when we're going to launch it and have our first national meeting in East Chicago.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Listen, next time you come to St. Louis, there's a young lady here who has done a similar program in East St. Louis, and she is actually being contracted by the public schools to do different types of seminars to help young people actually start their own business before they leave high school. And my gosh, you talk about kudos to her, and we had her on recently, Devon Graham, I think it's how you pronounce her name, but she's a pretty exciting young lady. And tell us, have you, I know you're coming back to St. Louis. Do you have a date yet, or do you know what month possibly you'll be coming back? We'd love to hear you again.
Cassandra, I was trying so hard to get that date. I don't have it yet, but I should have it soon because I'm coordinating with a couple of the pastors, you know, my good friend there, Bishop Johnson, and a few others. And so we weren't able to, wasn't able to get the date yet. But I'll definitely, as soon as I know, I'm definitely going to get it to you and connect with you on some other levels because you have some exciting things going on yourself. I really enjoyed talking to you the other day and inspired by your drive to really, you know, pursue after your niche of what you're called to do.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor, because recently was talking to another lady who's going to be a guest on our show. She just appeared on Steve Harvey's show, and she was abandoned by her husband. We've heard the story. Everyone's got their own unique story, but basically, in a nutshell, a woman with three children, she just had a set of twins, married her childhood sweetheart, and after 10 years, she finds, you know, a note from another woman that says, I'm tired of playing second fiddle, it's either me or her. And so he ended up choosing the other woman, unfortunately, and she was totally devastated. This woman didn't have a job. She said she didn't even have access to bank accounts or anything, just trying to be true to being the woman that loves her husband and, you know, honoring him and all that. So she pulled herself up out of, bootstraps, found a job, and did what she needed to do, the next thing. She is now, she started a blog talking about her life. Only did the blog because she was trying to get help in her own way, crying out for help. And that blog is turning into a book. And like I said, she was just on the Steve Harvey show, and she said, I'm doing things I never even thought I would do working. She finally worked her way up to a vice president position, okay, starting out as a secretary, and then she's a vice president. Just quit that job so she can work full-time pursuing her dream, and now she's going all over the country. She is, you know, out there banging it. And she said one thing that has always happened to me. If I don't pursue what God is putting in my heart because I you think you're waiting on someone to do something, you can't wait on anybody. I mean, you can only do what you can do and what God allows. But she says, I will get depressed. I get really sad. And she said, and then it finally connected that if I don't pursue what's in my heart that God's given me, it just doesn't work. And so that's why I have such a drive, Pastor, to push forward, because I feel like there's something in me that God wants to bring forth into the world. You know, I'm just going to be bold enough to say that maybe isn't possibly here yet, that he wants to use me to birth. And I praise God for that privilege and honor to be chosen by God to do anything, you know. Gideon said, you know, God, why are you choosing me? I'm the smallest, you know, my family is and all that, and, you know, you're choosing me. That's how I feel. But, you know, it's like it's not about me. It's like I'm sure you can say that, you know, about what you're doing. It's not about you. It's about pursuing kingdom business. And that's what I love. You've got the Kingdom Impact School of Ministry. How do you get involved in that? I think it's an online ministry training. What's that all about? That sounds pretty exciting, sir.
Yes. It's an online, ministry training. A lot of people are familiar with my preaching gift, and by the grace of God, they enjoy that. But I really enjoy teaching and training more than I do preaching, and many people don't know that. So as I've done training and teachings, a lot of the people I cross paths with have shared that they wanted to participate in some of the trainings that I was doing. I make them very practical. I make them, I set the workbooks, most of the material I write myself, so that, the result can be achieved from the class. And so since many of them weren't able to get to the places or the cities I was, hosting these trainings, I started an online school. And it's done seasonally, every, 2 months we'll host it. And then the people are able to log in and benefit from that ministry. So we have some exciting topics, how to hear the voice of God. I've gotten many testimonials of people's, of their clarity of being able to hear God clearly in direction. I did one class on hermeneutics, the art of preaching, how to be able to pull revelation out of the Word when studying. So it's a lot of exciting topics that I've shared, and it's really been able to bless people over the past couple of months.
Now, what is the website to go to to be involved in that area?
That's also drcraigcobb.com. I've got to – I don't know if it's updated on there, but if not, I'll definitely have my assistant get that done by the end of the day. But it's drcraigcobb.com. Everything goes through there.
Awesome. And where else can we expect to hear you, maybe other places around the country in the next month or two? You have any engagements we can see you at live?
I'll be in East Chicago this weekend, this Sunday, at First Baptist Church, and then that's this Sunday. Then the following weekend in Minneapolis, and at Fellowship Church, and I have some awesome something awesome that's brewing right now, Cassandra. I have a new book that's coming out, Live and Not Die, and the book is I'm not at liberty to really share a whole lot about it, but the book is on docket to become a documentary and a movie. So I have some major players that I have an impending meeting with that's coming up, and they want to embrace it to really turn it inside out to be a blessing to the body of Christ as a movie. So look for that to come out here soon. The book should be completed
wow.
in a couple of months. And then, you know, I'm learning all of this about not, you know, not sharing things before it's time, how it affects the promotion of it and all of that. So I'm not able to share a lot about what's coming.
Okay.
Of course, share some things about the book. The book, Live and Not Die, it's the subtopic is basically using your faith in spiritual warfare. I have notated at least 9 elements of faith and 6 dimensions of faith in my studies that allows you to be able to function and being able to fulfill what you've been designed to do. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that that the just shall live by faith, and that we go from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. A lot of times the challenge is that God has called us to a dimension of faith. He's called us to a place of fulfilling the next phase of our life or our vision or our destiny. But when we get stuck in one season, we start being overwhelmed by some of the challenges because we're trying to connect with God where we are instead of where we've been called to be. And that creates a dilemma in our pursuit and our quest to fulfill our destiny. And so the theme of the book is going to outline some personal experiences, Cassandra. A few years ago, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a certain challenge, and in the challenge, a lot of people didn't understand the dynamic that I was experiencing, that so many other Christian leaders and pastors are experiencing, and that is sometimes the demand of people causes us to carry the burden of people instead of the burden of the Lord, and whenever that happens, we're in danger of altering what God has really called us to do. And with that being said, this book and this documentary and this movie is really designed to minister to Christian leaders, minister to pastors, minister to people who have a burden and a calling of the Lord to do something in the body of Christ and to do something great. And it's been authored by God, but yet and still they are called to move to another faith existence. I'm going to say this last thing. I believe that a lot of the rebellion, a lot of the disobedience that we find ourselves in is not a result of rebellion to God. It's a result of lack of faith. It's a result of lack of faith. When we look in the body of Christ and we see the state of the body, and we look at Christian leaders and we look at people who are called to greatness, who are still great in their calling and what God has called them to do, many times when we look at them, we see the struggle, but we don't understand what is the engine behind the struggle. And most of the time, the challenge is that they're struggling to enter into another faith existence. And their lack of faith causes them to choose other paths to try to accomplish what only faith could accomplish. It's the same similar thing with Noah when the Bible says that Genesis 9, that he planted a vineyard, and then he, partook of the vineyard, and he became drunk. The Bible says for many years that he was called to build a boat. He was a carpenter. God changed his occupation from a farmer to a carpenter. And then the minute he got ready to step out of the ark into a new season of existence, a new season of faith existence, he was coming out of the ark, and his carpentry skill that God had caused him to learn was necessary in order to build and rebuild the earth. But the minute he stepped out, he shifted back to what he was used to doing. The Bible says he planted a vineyard. And so the problem he found himself in was because of his lack of faith, his lack of faith. And so we have to get to the place where we're creating environments for Christian leaders for themselves. They're creating environments where their faith cannot be limited. Their dreams cannot be limited, and their pursuits cannot be limited. My God, I feel the presence of God. I'm getting kind of excited here, so I think I need to.
Wow! my goodness, that does sound exciting, man of God. Wow, God has truly gifted you, my goodness, to be able to share that with us and inspire us. I think another issue is that I see is a lot of times people are frustrated because they're not sure about how to move out in what they believe God is calling them to. And I say that because I feel like I was a frustrated Christian for years. And probably a lot of it had to do with maybe not being connected with the right, right ministry sometimes people feel bound in churches. I mean, I don't know if you've heard that kind of thing before where, you might not be under the right leadership. They may have their own insecurities about what it is that you're trying to do or that you think you're trying to be all that because you're stepping out in faith. It's crazy some of the things that are going on that sometimes people just feel bound to even move out, being told, you can't do that or you're not ready or you got to believe. The Bible does say, you got to believe God more than you believe man to sometimes do those things that God is calling you to. You've got to really reach down on the inside and believe God, that God is for you, that God does want to bring this forth. That's why, I used to feel like my passion was like an itch I couldn't stop scratching because when I didn't move out in it, I felt like an animal in a cage, in a locked cage, I just like, oh, God, let me out of here. How do I get out of this boxed-in place, And, maybe I think some people feel that. Have you ever talked to people that kind of have that sense or that feeling because they're not moving out in their dream or they don't know how to pursue their passion? And so it's like a place of frustration and aggravation mentally because you don't know how to do the next thing and the next thing.
Wow, you're treading some thin waters,
Cassandra. I'm just keeping it real. I like to keep it real.
Well, Evangelist, I will tell you this. There are a lot of people that have had that same experience. a lot of people, and I had to learn how to function and pastor people like myself. That's the hardest thing to do sometimes. But you definitely hit a nerve center of the frustration of a lot of people. This is the king. This is the thing. Choosing the right church is the third most important decision a person would ever make in their life. The first most important decision is the decision to have a relationship with the Lord. The second most important decision a person can make is who they marry. And the third most important decision a person can make is what church they choose to go to. And, of course, if you're single, then that becomes the second temporarily. I would say this. In time, and this is a very pointed statement I'm going to make, but I know I'm in Bible country. Anytime a person does not discern your destiny, who you are, or what you're called to do, they unconsciously become your enemy.
Ooh-wee. Wow.
So if you're serving in a ministry and your pastor does not or cannot discern who you are, what you're called to do, or if you're in larger ministry, the statement would be, which is not typically the case, because a larger ministry, usually pastors are not intimidated unless, you're dealing with some people that are very close with you in your staff. But you have to be the type of leader that understands that your calling is to push people farther. That everyone that comes into your presence is not necessarily there only to serve your vision. Some people are in your presence because God wants you to impart so that their vision could live. And most of the time that happens unconsciously by leaders, by Christian leaders, is because they don't have clarity on what they're called to do. Number two, they have insecurities about their own destiny or future. And number three, they feel that once that person leaves or step out, that they will lose. You see what I'm saying? And so they feel that they would lose. So my advice to you and my advice to many people has been really pray about the church that God is leading you to. Set up a meeting with the pastor before joining. Meet with the pastor. Discuss what you're called to do. Discuss your dreams and your visions. And if the meeting there's not an embracing of what you're called to do, and there's not a support of what you're called to do, that might not be the church for you, because you don't want to be in a church where you cannot be fed and you cannot be pushed. I share with many people who are not pastors but are Christian leaders, and they are overwhelmed with destiny. I challenge them to set a meeting with their pastor, set a meeting with the potential church that they're looking at joining, and when you have that meeting, you'll know if that's the place that you need to be at.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Because you can't just join when you're not just the average ordinary believer. Just joining a church, unless you're designed or you're planning on being on the peripheries, and it's a large ministry. If that's not the case, you can't just join a church. You have to meet with the pastor. You've got to meet with the pastor.
I like that, what you're saying. I like what you're saying, Pastor. And this is Coach Melissa talking right now. I've seen a lot of different scenarios as it relates to what you're saying. So I know that is such, good teaching that needs to go forth to a lot of people. And in my time over the past 20 years in ministry, I've seen so many I've seen both frustrated people with gifts and talents in the body of Christ, and I've seen some who just were not using what they had. So some wanted to use and were frustrated because they were shut down or put down or what have you. Some just have them and weren't really brought out. And I've seen where people were like really all in, really understanding how their gifts and talents would be used, and get with certain churches or with certain leaders, I guess you could call, because you're not really with the church. I mean, we are the church, so you're part of the church wherever you go. But it's getting with that group of people that are working in that part of the vineyard. And then I've seen where people have come into a particular area, and even if you have a talk, like some people could have a talk. I'm not saying I'm totally agree. Another little caveat. I've seen where people have talked with the pastor or the whoever the leader was, but then it was the other members who, and the other members in leadership who can then come against what even the pastor might have said. Oh, great, we'll support you here, and, you know, oh, I'll help build you up, or you might feel that vibe. It's like with a job. You may go interview with the head person and get the job, and they're filling you, and you're filling them. But then what is the culture of the organization? The culture of the organization could still be dog-eat-dog, everybody competing, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're not taking all that into consideration. With what you're saying, I believe that you are. It's just that the dynamics of this thing is so much. You know, there's so many pieces. You know, it's not like people are operating as if when they were following Jesus around, and then Jesus would set everyone straight. I'm just saying, I've noticed a lot of leaders in churches, they don't set everybody straight. They, now that's just me, and this is no deference to any church leader. Because, and then I've also seen where a lot of the very powerful preachers and prophets or whatever, they had to go out and start their own, even though, so I think people need to have some kind of teaching on that seasonal part, okay? Because, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, serve. It's kind of hard, I think, for two people to be very dynamic in that same spot. Like, people have to know. I look at one of my people that I know in Cleveland, Ohio, only because I know his story from his book, Behind Locked Doors, and how, you know, he had to, you know, move out. And that happens to almost all, every leader has to move out. You know, even Abraham had to tell Lot, okay, you take that spot. You know, we can no longer do this thing together. So I just don't think that, and I think just like on jobs, you have leaders who don't want to let people go. You know, you're good, and I need your goodness here, and I need your strength, so I won't let you go. So then, therefore, things begin to undermine that person. And so I think there needs to be some teaching on encouraging people on when to go. And that, to me, I don't care if I go after a day, after a week, after a year, after 10 years, after 20 years. But I personally don't think there's enough teaching on when to leave. And I think that a lot of people are made to feel like you left, you dissed me.
Well, I'm just saying that
we should be building people to leave. I'm not building you to stay here, because I'm just saying, but that's, you know, that's just what I've seen and heard other people talk about.
And I agree. I agree with you 100%. These are the dynamics you're dealing with. Empathy is the strongest emotion when it comes to leading people. So I look from your perspective, because I've been in that position where I've been in staff of a 5,000 member church, and I had that experience. And then I've been on the side where I'm pastoring dynamic people. I'm pastoring leaders. And so I understand both dynamics, but let's look at this. First of all, we have to look at what is the biblical answer. Every question, every problem, every challenge we run into has a biblical solution. First of all, we have to understand from the pastor's perspective, the pastor just doesn't want to feel prostituted. He doesn't want to feel that you have gifted, dynamic people who is a part of their church but is not contributing at all to the church's progress. But on the other hand, the pastor have to understand that the believers and the people don't belong to them. They belong to God.
Now you're talking. But see,
so when you have, when you have a person that's committed to the body, but you also have to understand that their only sphere of operation is not the church. So there are going to be times they won't be able to be at every meeting, at every function, because their impact is not only the church, their impact is the world. You have unique pastors that can pastor people like you, and I'm going to just be honest, they're not everywhere. You're going to intimidate 70% of the pastors that are out there. So you got to find those 30%.
I can't jump. I got to jump in because you're talking so right. But that's my point. Why is not this teaching going forth at these big pastors and leaders conferences? Because certainly there's enough of those conferences. I'm just going to speak for the United States. That's happening where it should not for 1,000 years still be at, you know, only 30% of the pastors. Get that. That's a skill. That's a training. That's a skill that can be developed. It's just like developing a leader or developing a teacher, for that matter. People can be, I believe, because I'm a natural, well, not natural, but I'm trained to be a trainer. You can train someone. The Bible says Jesus was even trained. So if Jesus can put himself in the position to be changed and trained, who are we as a leader to say, well, I can't learn how to do that? And I'm not saying leaders aren't saying that. And I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree with you. I love what you're saying, and I just think that people like yourself, you are in a position to be at these conferences where these leaders and the higher ups gather. And I would love to see the topic of the workshops at those. The topic of the workshop at those events cannot always be just about how prosperous can we be. It's got to be about how, because we're trying to get a job done. The division is, the job is, let's get everyone saved. Let's get everyone, you know, on, you know, God said it's not my will that any man should perish, right? So let's move along that vision. But I love what you said, though. You're awesome. I love you. I love you. You're talking right, because you said, hey, listen, people got to know, you don't belong to me. You're not mine. And, yes, I love the fact that as a member, I'm not going to just come in, get my – it's like on a job. You're not going to go on a job, get all that training, and then leave them a year later. It's like in a relationship. You don't want to marry somebody, get everything that you can get, and then say, all right, I'm divorcing you and leaving. But we should have some sense of loyalty to that, because that's what I believe. I believe that, Pastor. My pastor knows, Reverend Terrell knows, I am loyal to Franklin St. John's United Methodist Church, where I've been 25 years, where I would sometimes, yes, I maybe felt like, oh, I could be over here doing this, this, and that, but I know what I got in that church. I know that that's the church where my ministry of preaching or my ministry of ministering to the prostitutes and the drug dealers, that's where that ministry was birthed. So I personally feel that, but people need to know what – I'm just saying there needs to be more teaching about what people are feeling so that they don't have this – anyway, I know I've said too much, but
– no, and right. You know, you're right, but it's like, you know, if when you talk about the teaching, when I want chicken, I don't go – well, normally, nowadays, McDonald's is making everything – you know, but when I want chicken, I don't go to Burger King, or, you know, when I want a burger, I don't go to KFC. You know, you have to find the place that fits your gifting. And the challenge with that, when you say the teaching, is there are just some traditional ways that people function and operate, and they have to make the choice to progress according with how God is dealing with the body of Christ at any given point in time. And if they're not willing to do that, then that growth is not going to take place. I pray for leaders. I pray for leaders. I pray for other dynamic and gifted people, because when you have a large vision, you're going to need people that function just like you. You're going to need other people that can pastor, other people that can lead. But this is one thing that God told me a long time ago when I was in a, I had just got out of a leadership retreat with my leaders at our church. It was about, I think, maybe about 32 of us or something like that. And we had just had a leadership retreat. And I went back to my room, and when I went back to my room, I was in prayer and just thanking God for the gifted people that were in the church and the gifted people that had been under my leadership and you know, just dynamic people. And God said to me, God said that it takes a certain level of humility to lead other gifted and anointed people. Mm-hmm. And I have to and out of that, I really began, and then I began to do a study, just a biblical study, on the subject of humility. Out of that, I learned that a lot of leaders are not comfortable in their own skin or giftedness. Anytime someone else shows up and it seems that they can do something better than them, unconsciously they begin to undermine what that person is doing. When that happens, that leader begins to experience leprosy in their ministry, where things start to just fall off. Membership starts to fall off. People start to fall off. Resources start to fall off. So we pray as leaders for God to expand the vision, God to increase the ministry, and the way he does that is send other gifted people. But when we suppress these people, then we kill our vision. So I think that a large portion of it comes from us understanding that people that lead, on some instances and in many cases, they're going to be more gifted than we are. They're going to do things that we can't do. They're going to be called to walk in or function in lanes that we're not called, or we don't even have the business savvy, the ministry savvy to operate in. And we have to experiment as a leader and look for ways to put them in positions that God can express them. And I think the greatest challenge for me and not being able to do that is when I'm dealing with someone that's just absolutely rebellious, non-compliant, and is just only thinking about what they're called to do in their ministry. But when you don't have that, my number one job as a biblical leader and pastor, my number one job is to empower the believers to reflect the image of Christ. That means finding out what you're called to do. Cassandra, what's in your heart? I enjoyed hearing what she was sharing with me, what she called to do, and the season she feel locked in with what she's doing career-wise and all of that. So now, by knowing that, I know what to take to prayer for Cassandra. Well, in taking that to prayer, God's going to show me how to set her up so God can do what he's called to do. And I'm giving an example if I was pastoring her. And that's how it ought to happen in the body of Christ. But most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time it's when a person comes to the ministry, how can they help this vision? How can they help God. My agenda? How can they promote what I'm doing? And then it's not reciprocal, you know. And so sons and daughters becomes a method of using people to support what you want to do. When you have father, when you have a spirit of a father, your job is to put your son and daughter in a position to do greater things.
Exactly. I agree. Because I'm thinking if God is calling the believers to take leadership and the right way of doing things and being in unity and working together, if he's calling us to take that to the marketplace, as so many people love to say, we got to take the right thing. We cannot just say because we're in church, we got the right thing, because we got to be doing the right thing. We got to be doing it the right way.
Yeah.
That's my perspective of it. I'm thinking that we first get ourselves together. Okay, how am I going to go to the boardroom in any corporation and tell that organization how to work together and build on each other and tap into each other's talents and gifts and not be jealous of one another if we can't get that right in our local churches? I'm not saying that's what's happening anywhere. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that if we're going to be all about anything, whether it's all about entrepreneurs or all about leadership or all about being a servant, at some point, all three of those things are going to have a very similar definition.
And that's most definitely. You know, some churches cannot operate outside of the church walls. They don't understand the dynamic of business and entrepreneurship and commerce and being able to connect with and impact the world. You know, if they walk in a room and sat at a table, if it's not all preachers that, you know, or church members, wouldn't be able to connect. And I believe that having that ability to communicate to the secular and the sacred is not only important, it's necessary to expand the kingdom of God. And so some of our conversation and some of our friends shouldn't be, you know, I'm speaking from my perspective, all of my friends are not pastors. All of my friends are not going to church 24 hours a day. Some of my friends need to be a congressman or a politician, some, you know, Christian congressman policies. Some of my friends need to be CEOs or business owners. Some of my friends need to be people in the education system. If I'm going to be able to affect every stratum of society, I have to understand what's going on in these stratums of society, even though if I'm not led by the government of it. And I've always been the one that I don't ever want to sit down at a table with a CEO who's not a Christian, who doesn't know the Bible and might not even know God, and not be able to communicate intelligently in his world. And I think that that becomes another point, as I said before, of intimidation for some Christian leaders. They can only flow in the vein of church. And if it's not in the vein of church, anybody that's not in that vein, they don't feel that they can have a dominion or control in that vein. You know, and I think that's where we come and we understand that you can learn from people you lead. You know, that's why my only challenge is a rebellious non-compliant leader who don't embrace others, because that doesn't describe the person and the gifted and the talented person leader that I'm leading, that's under my leadership. Then I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to learn from them. And in learning from them, I'm going to lead them. And in leading them, they're going to impact the church. And impacting the church is going to be able to push what God has called them to do. It's going to be a loving relationship. You know, so I look for that first seed that, you know, that would contradict the ability to germinate all of those things at the same time. And that number one thing I look for, do they respect Christian leadership? And if they respect Christian leadership and they're committed to the church, then it is my duty to discern if I'm close enough to them. It's my duty to discern, God, what are you doing in their life? And whatever you're doing in their life, show me how I can position them so what you call them to do can take place. Because they don't belong to me. I didn't die for them. I didn't shed no blood for them. I'm a steward over their gift. I'm a steward over their gift. And if the body of Christ is going to be better, and if they're a light, then they don't need to be under a bed. If their light is shining bright enough, they need to be in a place where the city can benefit from the light. So if that's the type of light we're carrying, show me how I can lead them so that they can be positioned for the body of Christ. And when they're making an impact, my joy is I had a part to play in the destiny that God has assigned to this person. You know, and the only way to be that, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. I know that when when the light is not on me, I'm a participant and I'm enjoying someone else's gift and presentation. But when the light is on me, I'm comfortable in my gift. I'm comfortable. I know God is going to use me. I'm comfortable in my anointing. I'm comfortable in my ability to take the word and adequately interpret and give revelation to God's people that's going to change their life. Can no one take that away from me? So when the light is not on me, I'm not intimidated. It's just not my turn. You know, and I think that that becomes the challenge, for most of us in Christian leadership, because every Sunday, and there's nothing wrong with it. You got to have an ego. But most of the time, the only part we hear is how great we are, what we can do, who we are, and how awesome we are. And we don't understand that we're called to give that same revelation to other people, even under our leadership. And that's the challenge, Coach. That's the challenge. You know, that's the challenge. So, but it's some awesome, you know, I have really enjoyed, Cassandra, I honor God for you and thank you for considering me as a guest on this show. I know that there's some great things. I sensed the other day when I was speaking on the phone with you, when I was just listening to you, I think I shared with you that I heard destiny. And I know the sound of destiny. I know when a person have a date with destiny. You can hear it. You can see it in their walk. You can see it in places where they've been, even if they're not still there. And on the phone with you, I can just hear in your conversation, you have a date with destiny, which means you're about to change your position in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about position in reference to a thought, to a position in reference to a place, but I'm saying position in reference to spiritual authority. Your commitment and your faithfulness thus far have shown up on the radar of God, and he's about to, you know, reposition you so that you can make impact for the kingdom. So you have a date with destiny. You know, just continue to listen to him, and God's about to shift some things in your life, and you'll know the time. You'll know down to the month that God is about to release you from your job. And it won't be a blind faith type of deal, because faith is never blind. You're able to see. God's going to give you strategies, and he's going to give you favor with someone that's going to make that possible. So continue to be, you know, to be encouraged and diligent, you know, in what you're doing, because God's going to definitely use you to impact the body of Christ. So I really appreciate this opportunity, and I'll talk with you because there's still something I share that I want to share with you, and I'm still praying about it, and I think it'll give vent to what you're doing now. So, been a blessing. Yeah. Listen, I have touched some awesome women this morning, so praise God.
Amen. Yes. And can you just pray a prayer over us before you go? Pray for the radio audience or whatever you feel God is saying in the season for a few minutes, and then we'll go ahead and release you. But if you would just say a prayer for us, we'd appreciate that, sir. We appreciate your kindness.
Most definitely. God, we thank you right now. We come before you. You're an awesome God. Lord God, you're doing great things. Not that you have done them in the days of our forefathers, Moses, David, Joshua. God, you're doing them now. And our expectation is supernatural. Lord God, we expect to be on top. We expect to be the head and not the tail. We expect to be above and not beneath. We expect to have unlimited resources to advance the kingdom. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for the radio station. I pray for Cassandra. I pray for our guest host. I pray for what you've called them to do, Lord God. I pray that you would put an exponential anointing on their life. Lord God, give them wisdom beyond their years of experience so that they can know how to maneuver in this time and in this dispensation. Lord God, to set up the king to do what he does best. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, the person, Lord God, that have questions as to how to be able to shift and maneuver. The person that has questions as to why something is the way it is, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would replace fear with faith, oh God. You would replace doubt with faith, oh God, in the name of Jesus right now, and cause them to be able to see in the spirit realm where their blessings exist for them in spirit form. Download into their spirits the things that are necessary, God, for them to be able to walk in the footsteps, Lord God, of the path that you've ordained for them to walk in. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now for every demonic stratagem that's against their vision, against their destiny, against their dreams. God, I cancel the assignment right now in the name of Jesus. I pray everything that has been birthed that has not been birthed by you, oh God, that the breast that is nurturing it will dry up now in the name of Jesus right now, God. I cancel every contract with defeat, every contract, Lord God, with limitless resources right now, God, and I speak right now, Lord God, to their spirit man, oh God. I decree and declare, Lord God, that the best days are ahead of them, oh God. I decree and declare, Lord God, that the shift that's taking place in their life, Lord God, is not a personal shift, but it's a kingdom shift. God, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord God, reign, Lord God, on the radio station. Rain on Cassandra. God, I lift her up right now before you. I hear you, God. I lift her up before you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And I pray right now that every person that opposes what you're calling her to do, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give them, Lord God, the insight to truly see, Lord God, that she's functioning according to your will and your design. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for her resources, oh God. Lord God, to come that she's released to do what you've called her to do full time. Lord God, I know you hear me, and I know you've already answered. Oh God, you've already set things in motion upon the sound of my apostolic and prophetic voice, oh God. And I pray right now you would release those things unto her. I pray for creation, oh God, into the spirit realm, oh God. I pray for an opening of doors that's been shut in the last season that's going to open up, Lord God, in the next 30 days. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, oh God, Lord God, for the rain to not just come down, that it would pour down, Lord God, rain of blessings, rain of prosperity. Rain of advancement, rain of new seasons, oh God. Yes. I decree and declare that she will step into new places, oh God. She will embrace new people, oh God, new opportunities, oh God, new revelation, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would increase her discernment, oh God, to be able to understand the intentions of people that come into her space, oh God, to know when they don't mean her well, oh God, but they come in good intentions, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that abundance would be her mantle, Lord God. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that she would function in the spirit of Joshua, Lord God. Lord God, where she would be able to move across the Jordan and, Lord God, take people with her into the next dimension of operation, oh God. I thank you right now for what you're about to do. Lord God, I'm looking at the person that's sitting at their desk, Lord God, typing on their laptop right now, but they have tears in their eyes because of disappointment, oh God, that has taken place in their home, oh God. I pray for that person right now, and I decree and declare, Lord God, that change shall come. I stop everything negative and antithetical to their destiny, oh God. I speak to that person. She knows it. She's sitting at her desk, and I pray, oh God, that you would minister to her right now, oh God. Lord God, cause the weights to fall off her ankles, oh God. I pray right now that the burden shall be lifted off of her shoulders, oh God. I pray right now that those fears would become tears of joy, Lord God. In the name of Jesus right now, call your mind to become one with your mind, oh God. Release apostolic and supernatural anointing on her now, right where she sits, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you that this morning, right now, every person under the sound of my voice, oh God, has a date with a divine appointment of destiny today. Today is going to be an awesome day. It's, I decree and declare, it's going to be a prosperous day. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And God, we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Pray. Ooh, thank you. Thank you so much, God. We bless you back. And I just want to say this is actually Coach Lalisa is the one that spearheaded this radio broadcast. I want to give honor to the woman of God. I love her so much and don't want to, you know, cause any confusion. But, yes, she has started. I co-host with her, and it's an honor to do so. But I thank you, man of God, for praying with us, for loving us. We got to have you back real soon, when you're ready, maybe getting closer to come to St. Louis or something, we'll try to get you back on. We have truly enjoyed you. Yes, yes. Coach Lalisa, praise God. We thank you.
I'm going to commit you to prayer at least for the next 7 days because I believe God has his hand on both of you, and I'm just looking forward to hearing
you.
Great.
Thank you.
In the days to come, just make me one promise. Just promise me, as God does it, you'll keep me informed as to what he's doing.
Oh, yes. And we're going to keep you in our prayers, too. I bless you, man of God. I thank you for the word of the Lord that is in your mouth, because I'm telling you, you've prophesied to me before when I purchased your book. You had a word of the Lord that God was going to blow my mind. So I'm looking for God to do that same thing again. And one of my favorite statements to say, and I'm going to let you go, prophet, is watch God and be utterly amazed. Watch God and be utterly amazed and watch him blow your mind.
So back to you,
prophet. And check out your inbox on Facebook. I sent you a little note. And we thank you. We love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Have a blessed day. Praise God. Back to you, Coach Lalisa. Take it away. And everyone have a super califragilistic expialidocious day, baby. Do it for Jesus. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, somebody has a question or a comment. Your phone line is open, area code 678. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, praise God. My name is April Willoughby, and I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia, actually Powder Springs, Georgia. And this is my first time calling in, but I just want to you all have truly blessed me this morning, just the presence of God, and I just look forward to continuing to be a part of what you guys are doing, because it's definitely of God, and I'm sure that you have impacted so many lives, because you have impacted me, glory to God, just in this one session of being part of your show. So I just want to give God the glory and just want to thank you so very much.
Well, can you, you know, share like one thing maybe that you heard today that made you go, or aha?
well, for me, I know that you know, God has always called me to entrepreneurship, but you know, a lot of times you allow, you know, things to get in your way and so forth, and just you know, that great man of God that spoke, you know, about, you know, the different levels of faith, you know, and being able to, you know, I definitely want to get that, you know, his book and tap into that, you know, just the different levels of faith and how to bring the vision that God has given you as an entrepreneur,
yes,
you know, how to bring it to pass. You know, like you were saying, a lot of times people are dormant, you know, lay dormant, and they don't realize the what God has given birth to them, you know, for the vision.
Yes. That's awesome, April, and thank you so much for, you know, tuning in and sharing. And definitely, you know, we have people coming on, various people who have come on, and just like
our guest today that has shared. And, you know, as I what I was thinking earlier in the show when he first started talking, and how over the, you know, over the weeks, months, and years that we've been talking to people about operating in their gifts and talents and being entrepreneurs or being successful, is that, you know, 100 Frenchmen can't be wrong. That's what my mother used to say. It's like everybody is saying the same thing. And many of the guests are random people that are selected to be on the show. You know, sometimes we know them, sometimes we have just learned of them. But everybody seems to be saying the same thing. And I know when it comes to the body of Christ, there's one sound. There's one, you know, Christ is one. So obviously the Holy Spirit is speaking through everyone on one accord. We're all on one accord. But everybody's saying the same thing. It's your vision. Have the faith. Step out. Connect with the right people. Don't be afraid to move out. God has more level. You know, so I'm like, wow, you know.
Yes.
So it's like eventually somebody is going to tune in and really maybe get that confirmation. You know, oh wow, that's confirmation. God already spoke that to me, or somebody might tune in and say, I was looking for that support. You know, some people are like, oh wow, I can tune into this every morning and I can hear this empowerment and motivation. You know, whether you're the CEO or you're starting out or looking to start out or what have you, or whether you are a part of an organization and you're there to build up that organization, right? Like those who
Absolutely.
Work for IBM. Yeah, you may work for IBM, Procter & Gamble, or you may work for, you know, any company, any organization, right? And it's like, it's awesome. Or just to even see other people doing it. You know, sometimes
yeah.
as entrepreneurs, it can be a lonely walk because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people in your circle may not be doing it. And you're like, who can I talk to about what I'm experiencing? I know, like, for me, being a female, when I started being an entrepreneur, it's like I'm a woman, I'm married, you know. My husband, you know, has a traditional 9-to-5. Here I am trying to be this entrepreneur who you don't know when the paycheck is coming in. Now, I can't talk to him about it per se because, you know, he's seeing something different. So I had to go out and find people. You know, sometimes, you know, I used to think that, well, sometimes men, I used to think this, I don't think like this anymore, have it a little bit easier because, you know, he's the one kind of laying the rules for the household. So if he decides that he'll go out and be entrepreneurial, the woman is typically, if she is working a traditional 9-to-5, she's going to be having that support without real questioning. But when it's I used to feel like this, when it's the woman, because it's me, you know, and I used to even say, boy, I'd be a lot, I used to say this, I don't anymore. I used to say, boy, I'd be a lot further in my business if I was single, because I wouldn't have that husband that I got to run everything by. I got to check with him. You know, can I leave town and go do a book signing, you know, in Chicago? I don't know how many books I'm going to sell. I don't even know if anybody's going to show up. But when you're married, you know what I'm saying? I used to think like that, but, you know, God has shown me over time that, you know, he's got other ways to get things done. So I needed to be around other married entrepreneurs, other women, married.
Mm-hmm.
Who had my experience, so I could see maybe I needed to learn how to do it. Maybe I needed to learn. Maybe there's a certain way to approach your spouse. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I do. I do, and yes, I do. And also, I just want to, I learned about you guys on Christian Social Network, and I'm just so... Yes, I'm so grateful. I am the director of hospitality, but Minister Valerie Allen, she is so awesome and a great woman of God, and she posts just all the time, you know, about your program. And I just said, I've got to get up and I got to make sure I'm a part of this, because I just, it was just the Holy Spirit just pulling, you know, just pulling it at my spirit and said, April, you need to be a part of this. And I'm just so thankful to God, for you guys.
Wow. You hear that, Coach Sandra? That's awesome. Well, we love David Knight. Wow. We love the Christian Social Network. We love Minister Valerie Allen. Oh, I met her in ShopRite. She's awesome. And she, you know, since I've been knowing her, you know, she's been singing our praises. She's been on the show. She'll be on again. But we thank God for the network, Christian Social Network. Wow. I can't.
Yes. Praise God. Because
we tell everyone.
What's your name? What's your name, ma'am?
April Willoughby. Mm-hmm.
April Willoughby, we thank you. We will keep you in our prayers, woman of God, and we want to hear from you again. Bring some
stuff
with you.
Oh, you will. Definitely.
Praise God.
Now, do you do hospitality for my CSN?
Yes, I do. I do. Yes, I welcome people to the site. Also, you know, I do book some events for Christian Social Network and as well. And also I'm working with our new fundraiser project. And so it's just been such a blessing from the Lord to be a part. I know that this is one of the things that God is definitely called me to be a part of, and Mr. David Knight's vision, and it has truly, truly blessed my life, truly been a blessing to be a part in seeing lives change, lives being restored, and to be able to be a blessing, you know, and to be a part of expanding the body of Christ. I mean, that's our what we're supposed to be doing anyway. But he's just a great man of God, and I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
Awesome. All right. Well, we appreciate you, and we thank you for hanging in there to ask your question. We appreciate everybody tuned in, and thank you, Coach Cassandra, again for bringing us the awesome guest we had today, for finding him, and kudos to all that you do and all that you got going today. I know we're all busy, so let's go out there. Let's make our dreams happen. Let's tell everybody about the Christian Social Network. And April, we thank you, and we can't wait to hear more from you. You know, Friday is open mic, so, you know, look, the whole show is just for us to let people talk who want to say something. So each show at the end, we try to leave a few minutes that people can, if they have a comment or a question that they would like to make or share. So we appreciate you, April, and appreciate those tuned in. And those who will listen
Amen.
To you. Amen. So that's all
Coach
we have
Lisa?
Time.
Yes, Coach Lisa, I just want to mention to our guests that tomorrow we have a woman of God who lives in Atlanta area and is a friend of David and Michelle Stevens. I don't know if you've met Michelle, but the woman is a local business owner who has an awesome story. She turned her pain into her passion and has an awesome business and is thinking about franchising. So you want to tune in and you want to get to know this lady. She's in your area. She might be a great mentor to you. April?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
I just wanted to tell you, you want to definitely check in tomorrow. Okay.
Okay.
Thank
I
you.
Will be there.
Happy you, Coach. Coach Lisa.
I know I can't reach my dreams. My vision's eyes. That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/Lalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars, where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams. Yeah, 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 I'm moving.